This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3013 for Wednesday, the 19th of February, 2020. Today's show is entitled Bash Tips 21 Bash Nardo, and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris, and is about 42 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is environment variables.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Dave Morris and today I am going to do a show in the, I guess it's a sub-series of Bash Scripting, and the show is called Bash Tips 21. So the subject of this particular episode is to talk about the environment. That's the environment in relation, not too surprisingly, to Bash, and Bash in particular. So you've probably seen reference to this in various contexts when you're looking at things relating to shells and shell scripts and scripts in other programming languages and compiled programs and stuff. It's often referred to, not sure that all references are well explained. So in Unix and Unix-like operating systems, like Linux, of course, there is an environment which is maintained by the shell. And in this case, obviously, we're looking at Bash. So when a script or a program or a subprocess is invoked, it's given an array of strings called the environment. And this is a list of name and value pairs in the form of name equals value. So the environment is used to convey various bits of information to the executing script or program or whatever. For example, two standard variables you'll see there, which are provided by the shell, are home, H-O-M-E in capitals, which is set to your, or the current user's, home directory, which it's been taken from the etc. password file, and pwd, all in capitals, which is set to the current working directory. The user of the shell can set and change and remove and view environment variables for their own purposes, as we're going to look at in this episode. And as I've already said, Bash itself creates and in some cases manages environment variables. It's slightly confusing that Bash maintains its own set of variables, which are they're actually referred to in the manual as Bash variables, I think. I didn't check this. But they contain information about the version of Bash and things like that. Sometimes they're changing. Bash is changing them. But these are not environment variables. They're not variables in the normal sense, and you can't change them mostly. Now, one important point about all of this environment stuff is the environment contains global data, which is passed from a parent process to child processes. And it's a way of communicating information down that particular tree. But it's not possible for a subprocess to pass the information back to the parent. The subprocess can change these environment variables as it wishes, as is necessary, but that's private to it or any subprocesses which are created during the running of that particular thing. So you can look at the environment in a number of ways. There are quite a few, actually. I'm going to go through them all, not in great depth, but with references to where you can find more. But I thought it was useful maybe to do the whole lot, because I certainly found this a little bit confusing. There are so many ways of getting to the same stuff. So you can view stuff from the command line with the command printenv, printenv. Depending on which release of Linux or Unix you're running, sometimes it's a built-in command, sometimes it's a standalone command. In my particular case on Debian, it's /user/bin/printenv. I'm going to just mention these things now and then drill into them a bit later. There's a command env, E-N-V, which without any arguments does the same thing as printenv, without arguments. This is actually a more complex tool which you can use to run an program in a modified environment. We're going to look at this later. And then scripting languages like Awk and Python and Perl and so forth can view and manipulate the environment. And of course, compiled languages such as C can do this too. And there are some other commands that will show the environment, which we'll also look at. So how would you change the environment? Change variables in the environment. These variables are not significantly different from the shell parameters we've looked at throughout the Bash Tip series. The only difference is that they have a marker associated with them, which says they are to be exported. So that means that they're copied to commands and subprocesses and so on, subshells. You'll often see variables in the environment referred to as environment variables. I think I've probably done this already in this particular episode. The Bash manual makes a distinction between ordinary parameters, as it calls them, or variables, as you might also call them, and environment variables. But many other sources are a lot less precise about which is which. I suppose it doesn't really matter, except that you want to know which ones are being exported and which are not. And you can flip variables between the two states too. So I've got a list here of how you can create or change variables, environment variables. They can be set up at login time, and as a systems administrator, you can set these globally for everybody who ever logs into this system. Or you can set them up locally for a particular user, yourself probably. And this is done through a bunch of configuration files. Now, I plan to talk about Bash's configuration files and some of the others that are relevant in a later show. So I'm not going to dig more deeply into that today. When you invoke a command or a script, you can precede it with name equals value expressions, and these will temporarily place the variables into the environment for the command. There's also an export command, which allows you to create a variable and set it and mark it as being exported. The declare command, which we've seen before, will take the -x option, which does this when you create something that way. When you've got an environment variable set up, it can be changed at any time in the subshell with a command like myvar equals 42, just as for a normal variable. The shell just changes the value, not paying any attention to whether it's exported or not. The export command can also be used to turn off the export marker on a variable. And as usual, you can delete these variables with the unset command, as we've seen in an earlier episode. So we're going to drill down into these as we go. So let's start with temporary addition of a variable to a command's environment. So for example, I've got an awk script which has actually been placed in the temp directory, /tmp, and I've called it awktest.awk. And it consists of a single line, begin in capitals, open curly bracket, print hello world in quotes, close curly bracket. It's possible to invoke awk to execute this file by setting up the environment variable awk path. And this is a list of directories where awk looks to find script files. And you can obviously give it the full path to the file as well, but this is a slightly more convenient way. So here's the example If you typed on your command line AukPath, where AukPath is in capitals, AWKPATH equals, and then /TMP, that's declaring it as containing the one directory temp, then follow that by a space and AWK, calling AUK space hyphen F space AWKTEST, the name of the file. And then you find that it will run and you will get a hello world message back. Now, we didn't put the .awk suffix on that file, and that was taking advantage of the fact that when AUK searches for the file using AUKPath, it will accept files with that name directly, or ones with a .awk suffix. It's really important to separate the setting of this environment variable AUKPath from the AUK command by a space, not a semicolon. If you put a semicolon in there, it will split this line into two commands which will not be related to one another. They will not communicate with one another. So it wouldn't have achieved what you wanted, and AUK would not have found the file. The AUKPath variable is not changed in the parent process. That is the process that runs AUK. You could look at it afterwards and see before and after and see the effects. I haven't done that in the notes here. So it's just a temporary thing and is passed to the child process. And it lasts just as long as the command runs. Okay, so that is quite a useful thing to be able to do, to pass an environment variable down to a subshell subcommand. So we'll now look at the printenv and env commands. Printenv, without arguments, just lists all the environment variables. If you follow it with the list of variable names, it will print only those. But the difference is, with no arguments, it prints out, fairly obviously it would do this, name equals value pairs, so you know what the variables are called and what their values are. But if you specify specific variable names in the printenv command, you will just get the values printed. Now the env command, env command, is, I thought it was worth spending a little bit of time on what you can do with it. I think we've seen this before. I can't remember if I've talked about this or just shown it without explaining it. But it's it will either print a list of environment variables, or it'll run a command in an altered environment. So it's another way of doing this, and probably a more convenient way of doing it. So I've got a little table here of some of the options that you can provide. And the first one is a simple hyphen, or hyphen I, or double hyphen ignore environment. So what that does is, when env runs, given that it can produce its own environment, it creates an empty one. Hyphen zero, or hyphen hyphen null, will end each output line with a zero byte rather than a new line. Hyphen u, or hyphen hyphen unset equals name, will remove a variable from the environment that you're creating. So you might want to pass an environment through to a program and remove a particular thing that's available in the parent environment. Hyphen capital C, or hyphen hyphen CHDIR equals directory, will change the working directory to that particular directory. And the last one is quite important, or the next one. Hyphen capital S, or hyphen hyphen split hyphen string equals S. It will process and split S into separate arguments. So you would use that to provide arguments to env, as shown in the sort of template of the command. And it's particularly useful in passing multiple arguments when you're using this in an executable script, which we'll look at in a moment. There's a hyphen lowercase v, or hyphen hyphen debug option, which shows verbose information as it does its stuff. So env is followed by options if you wish, and it's then followed by name equals value things, as many as you wish, or none at all. And then it's followed by a command which takes its own arguments. Now, it's often used in shell scripts to run the correct interpreter on the hashbang or shebang line, the first line of the file which begins with hash exclamation mark. And you don't need to know the path of the thing. It is necessary to know the path of env, but this is usually user bin env. So, for example, to run a Python 3 script, you might begin with hash exclamation mark slash user slash bin slash env space Python 3. So we don't know where Python 3 is because we let env work it out for us. So that's really convenient. Now, the hyphen capital S option is important if the interpreter needs its own options. So I've got an example here. There's a file called, I haven't actually provided these for you, but they're just listed here, orctest1, which consists of this hashbang line with orc space hyphen F in it. And the contents of the script are another begin with a print hello world in it. So if you invoke orctest1, you get error messages. And that's because env doesn't know how to interpret orc space hyphen F all by itself. And it says use hyphen capital S to pass options in shebang line. So it knows that it doesn't know when it tells you how to rectify things. So if we make another script orctest2, and in there, in the hashbang line, we follow env with space hyphen capital S, then we can put space orc space hyphen F and a print hello world body of the thing. When you run that, it works. So if you are in the business of invoking orc scripts as executable files with a hashbang to start them, and you like to use env because it's a more reliable way of finding the application that the interpreter, as they call it, which you're trying to run, then this is an important thing for you. Now, the env command can also be run from the command line in a similar way to the way we saw earlier on, where you just put name equals value. You precede that with env, env space, and we've got here MSG in capitals equals in quotes hello, print env MSG. And what it returns is hello. So what that's done is the env has created the environment variable MSG and then we run printenv to look at the contents of that MSG value, which we see is hello. And if you then follow that with the command printenv MSG, nothing is returned because the variable has been deleted once that particular command has run. It's no longer available because the environment for that particular command's gone away. Now, I've given another example where you can do the same thing, setting the options, the env options of hyphen v, which is debug, and I, which is to clear the environment and then do the rest of the stuff. And you then get debug info, which says cleaning environ, and then set env msg equals hello, executing printenv, arg0 equals printenv, message equals hello. So it's just got a lot more chatty about what it was doing. But it's quite interesting. I find it interesting to see what it's actually doing. That's enough about env, I think. But there's a lot more information in the GNU Core Utils manual if you want to get more into it. So looking at the declare command, we saw this earlier in the series, and you can use it to create variables and arrays. But if you use the hyphen x option, then the variables created are also marked for export to the environment and can be used by subsequent commands, subcommands, and so on. You can't export arrays this way. Bash doesn't have this capability. Apparently, it was planned to add this at some point in the past, but it has not been implemented. Don't know whether it ever will be, but you can't copy arrays to the environment of a subcommand. Remember, declare hyphen p can be used to show the actual declare command that you would need to use to create a variable, and you'll see them being shown as declare with a hyphen x. If you want to limit your looking at variables, environment variables, then you can use declare space hyphen p space hyphen x, and it'll only report back the exported ones. So personally, I quite like doing that because it gives you a little bit more information about variables if you're searching for what they are and how they've been set up and so on. But so next we've got the export command. This is the one you most often see in example scripts and so forth. And it will mark variables to be passed to child processes in the environment in the usual way. And the template is export with followed by a hyphen F or a hyphen N or both, a hyphen P, and then name equals value. So in short, you can use it to export a variable that's already been set. You can use it to set a new variable and export it, and you can also use it to display stuff. The hyphen n option says to mark the variables that are arguments to the command not to be exported. In other words, it switches off the marker that says export this. There is a hyphen f option which lets you export shell functions, but I'm not going to go into this. Might leave that until I haven't actually covered shell functions in any depth. That again is queued up for later, so I'll talk about this more then. The hyphen p option displays output in a form that you can reuse, and if you just write export space hyphen p, then you get back a whole bunch of the environment variables, which is similar to what if you used declare space hyphen x space hyphen b. So if we look at the example where we had awk path pointing to temp, and we then ran an awk script that was sitting in the temp directory, you could have done this by typing two lines. First one being export awk path equals temp, and then calling awk hyphen f space awk test, and it would have worked. But awk path would have then been set in the current environment with to temp. So unlike the other one where it just happens for that command invocation is then reset. Just as an aside, you might see cases in scripts where variables being set. So my example is TZ, that's the time zone, equals, and in quotes, Europe/London, close quote, semicolon, export TZ. That's just the old way of doing it because I think earlier versions of export didn't allow you to both initialize and export a variable at the same time. But you can, nowadays you'll see stuff where it's just done with TZ equals after the word export. Now, there's a thing about the set command, which I have included here in the notes. We've looked at the set command in many, many contexts already, and there's lots of options to it. This time we actually need to look at it in a lot more detail, the set command, in order to fully understand it, but I'm not going to do that this time. Set space hyphen k does things in relation to environment variables. Now, I've written this all out and it gets quite involved, and I'm feeling myself a little bit reluctant to go into depth with this in the audio, to be honest with you, because the times you'd want it, as far as I can make out, very, very few, the effect of it, and it seems extraordinarily obscure to me. I was interested in finding it and also understanding it. And I've written down what I what I discovered in the notes here, but I'm not going to talk about them. So okay, so it's basically about how you pass environment variables when you invoke a script, and I've demonstrated how you can precede the script invocation with setting up an environment variable, but you can also embed it amongst the arguments of the script. But this only works if you use set hyphen k before you do so. You think that sounds interesting, then go and have a look at the notes in more detail, and there are links to how you can use this. I'm not sure it ever says why you would want to, because I'm not quite clear myself. So how would you use, why would you use environment variables? So you've probably seen reference to these things when reading man pages. We've already had some minimal demonstration of how you can change the behavior of awk with awk path. And of course, there's a lot of similarities with this in many commands that you'll find on your Linux system. It's common for complex information about the running of a script or a program to be conveyed through configuration files, but it's not uncommon still to see environment variables being used as a way to communicate this stuff. So for example, the GNU Privacy Guard command gpg, it uses an environment variable gnupg home, all in capitals, and this specifies a different directory to be used instead of the default, which is in the home directory .gnupg, lowercase. It's also things like in Postgres, the command line tool, this is psql, and this is the thing that allows you to interact with a Postgres database from the command line. There's a whole load of environment variables that can be used to provide defaults for running this. So pgdatabase is one, so you don't have to tell psql which database you want to open. pghost, which machine holds the database. pgport, which port to use on it. pguser, which user to log in as. So it's quite common to see this sort of stuff. So in general, environment variables will do two main things. Pass information about the login environment, such as the shell, the desktop, the user. For example, shell, variable shell in capitals, contains the current shell, such as /bin/bash. Desktop session defines the current desktop environment, such as, in my case, XFCE. User defines the current username. And these are all created during login and can be controlled by configuration files or are just defaulted by the shell itself, bash. And you can also use environment variables to pass information to scripts, to commands and programs. And these variables can be set in the shell's configuration file or on the command line, so temporarily or permanently. And we've seen a fair bit about how you do that. I'm going to talk, as I said, I think already, more about configuration files in relation to bash in an upcoming show. It can be argued that any complex software system is better controlled through configuration files rather than through environment variables. So it's not uncommon these days to see files written in the YAML or JSON formats being used to communicate stuff to programs and scripts. I certainly do this myself. And it allows a lot of settings to be controlled in one place. It doesn't fill up the environment with lots of variables. And because there's no such concept as arrays within environment variables, you can't just say, here's an array with all the settings, which would have been nice. So it's usual to have a configuration file containing this stuff. So now I'm going to dig into some examples. And because the examples I've shown the actual scripts that I'm running and then shown the output from the scripts, I'm not going to go into a vast amount of detail in the audio, because you can check this out yourself in the notes. So my first example, which is called bash21ex2.sh. What this is doing is it's running bash through using env to start with. Then it is setting variables within the script, and then is running the different forms of, say, variables, one variable. It's showing examples of how you would get information from the environment. So it's setting a thing, a variable called bt version to 21. So bt version is just my idea of having a bash tips version. So this is show 21. So we bt version equals 21 export bt version. And then we use env to pull back some variables and print env and export and declare. Just to demonstrate the different ways in which you can do it. The variables I'm looking at are the editor variable, which is a standard thing for defining which editor you want to default to, shell, which is the shell that's currently running this script, and bt version, the thing I just declared. In the case of env, you can't easily pick out the individual variables because env just dumps the whole lot. In the case of printenv, you can specify the variables you want to see, but you can't do that with export and you can't do it with declare. So I've used grep in each case to pull out the specific things. And you can see at the end the running of this thing and the sort of way in which things are shown. As I said before, export prints out the contents of stuff, but it looks just like you'd use declare to do it. Don't know how useful that is. It doesn't do anything very special, but just to give you some idea of how these commands work. So next example is showing how you could write an awk script to look at the environment. So in this case, it's not using env to invoke awk. It's just using awk itself, path to awk, with a hyphen f, because it wants to read the commands, the actual awk script from the file. And it's a begin rule, and in it is simply a loop which goes through an array called environ. And environ is indexed by the names of the variables. So for each one, we print out the word environ, square brackets, and then the name that we get back, and then the value. So that's all we do. I ran this with an account which I've reserved specifically for doing HPR episodes, HPR demo, I've called it. And it has a pretty minimal set of environment variables set up by default. So the list is fairly short. And there's a little note here which talks about how I did this and the fact that it's done through an SSH connection. So that will have affected the contents of the listing, which you see here in the notes. But anyway, just to give the point that these things are available in scripting languages and in programs too. And the next one, example 4, is another quite simple thing where you invoke the script, it's the bash script, and it will report back the contents of a particular variable, environment variable. Actually, just variable of its own, any variable it will report back. Now look at it. So I'm running it. The script starts off by doing a quick check to see if there are arguments. If not, then it will exit with an error message. But if there are arguments, then it will loop through them and report what they are, using declare to do it. And there's a for loop, for arg, semicolon, space, do, which is simply a way of walking through all of the arguments to a script. So if I run it with the single argument shell in capitals, then I get back a declare space hyphen x space shell equals, and then in quotes slash bin slash bash. And then the next example shows the script being run with some temporary environment variables. So I've declared two of them. One is compass, which is set to the value north, weather, set the value wet. And we then run the script with the two variables, two names, compass and weather. We get back the contents of the two. They both come back with a hyphen X in front of them because we have, by doing this temporary environment variable business, have put them in the environment for that script. Now, I'm just talking here about using export in Bash configuration files. It's the next example. And I've included bash21_ex5.sh, which simply shows some of the environment variables that I'm currently using in my own Bash configuration. Just three of them, in fact. But just to demonstrate this, I'm going to go in a lot more detail about this in an upcoming show. So I'll not really comment on... Maybe I should, actually, yeah. So the first one is setting the variable path. Path is a standard thing that's set by Bash, I think, and is modified by the default configuration files. What I'm doing here is using export to set path in capitals to equal then the current contents of path, which is dollar open curly brackets path close curly bracket, and then a colon, and then $home/bin. So what path actually is a list of directories where Bash is to look to find things to execute. So if you run ls or something, it will... Is ls built in? The commands which are not built in, like printend, we know that's not built in. Bash will go and find it by searching your path. If you mess your path up, then you will find that things don't work because Bash can't find them. But what I've done here is to add to the end of this a bin directory, my own home directory. And that's where I put tools that I use, that I've written myself and use often. And they just run as if they're built-in commands. So you always see the warning in this case, do not add dot to the end of this. So don't put colon dot on the end of your path. What that would do would be to run scripts by looking for them in your current directory. But that is a vector for all manner of attacks. Running things out of your current directory is never a good idea to automate through path. Then the other two variables are editor and visual, which are things where you set the preferred editor. Editor in capitals is a lightweight editor you want to use for quick and dirty edits, and it defaults to nano, but since I hate nano, I don't use it, I use Vim. And visual is for a more sophisticated editor where you would, I've again used Vim, but you might want to use all manner of things, gedit or Emacs or whatever takes your fancy. Now, my final example is probably another one I'm going to skip in terms of the audio. And I've even said in the notes that you might want to just skip it anyway when you come to read things. Let me just give you a little bit of the background and then leave it there. Back in 2013, I wrote a script, Bash script, which I wanted to help me to submit shows to HBR. Because every time I organized a new show, I would do something daft, get something wrong in the setup. So I have been accused of, if in doubt, write a script. But I write scripts to protect myself from myself. And I quite enjoy writing scripts as well. So that's what I did. And the intention was, perhaps this might be of use to others. So I wanted it to be written entirely in Bash. So I decided I wanted a way of setting up a configuration, some configuration info for a particular episode. And I decided I would do this using environment variables created through an export command. So I've included a file called bash21_ex6_1.cfg, which lists the various settings. I'm still sort of semi-using this, by the way, but it never reached the point where it was something I'd want to publish, because it is a horrible clunky thing. Anyway, it sets up things like the name of the project. The project is actually the name of the directory that holds it, which is derived from the title. And the tags are in there, whether it's explicit or not. If there's a series associated with it, the email associated with it, which I've obscured here. The actual title, bash tips-21, and so on and so forth. In there, though, there's an array. _cfg_files is a list of files which comprise the bits of this particular show, which at some point I would have uploaded to the HPR server. When this was originally designed, we used FTP, so these are the files that got uploaded through FTP. Got lots of underscores in the names, but those get replaced by the slot number when the thing is finished. So sourcing this configuration file would cause all the exports to be invoked and all of these variables to appear in the environment and so on and so forth, except that the array wouldn't work that way. So it wouldn't be possible to call a sub command and expect it to be able to see the array. However, every time the subcommands run, they source this file. So even though the array doesn't get put in the environment, it gets put in the local list of variables. So it sort of worked. Well, it's really clunky and weird. That seemed like a great idea at the time, a long time ago. So that's my preamble, really. What I'm doing in the example is taking this file and converting it in a little script to make a different format thing which uses declare, which is probably a better way of doing it. But it was just a novelty, really, just to demonstrate some of the weird and wonderful things you could do if you were so minded. And the declares would not have used the environment. They would have just written stuff into the current list of variables. I think I'll call it quits at that point, because this is quite a long show as it is. So time to go. Okay, I hope you found that useful, and I will try and do the next one in this series a little bit quicker than the last one. I took a rest, and the rest was so nice I let it run on a bit long. Okay then, bye now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.